When men want to repeat or add to the atoning work of our Lord Jesus, they are saying that Jesus' work was not complete. It's not sufficient. And they deny that His offering was infinite. This is the core doctrine of the cross work of Jesus. He was God and man in one person. His bodily death, His blood sacrifice was of infinite value. Because it's the blood of the God-man, not just a passing sacrifice soon to be lost.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and it is with joy and gladness that we take this opportunity to minister God's Word to you wherever you may be. And I trust that you will become a regular listener to Let the Bible Speak as we're on the air Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. right here on this station. Now remember that we love to hear from our listeners because this is in every way a work of faith as I preach to a microphone and this message goes out over the airwaves from our local station. So I wish to hear from you. And if you take the time to send me an email or give me a call, it would be a great encouragement just to know that you're listening in and finding these programs a blessing to you. Now, this is Reformation Month, and through this month I've been emphasizing the need to expose the errors of Roman Catholicism, and I've been reading these testimonies by various men who were in the Roman Catholic system, converted by the grace of God, and brought to the liberty of the gospel. And today our testimony is going to be by a man called Capriano James, and he will tell his own story of deliverance from being a Roman Catholic priest to the light of the gospel. But we continue our message on wherein they miss the cross. And of course, that is the cross of Calvary. And you can be in a system that is filled with symbols and traditions about the cross and yet miss the real meaning. And I fear that's true of multitudes of Roman Catholics. So stay tuned as we let the Bible speak on this message.
And the worth of the one act of our Lord Jesus on the cross. If someone said to you, I don't like the way you built your house, I would like to build another little bit onto it. You would say, well, I'm sorry that you're not satisfied with the work. You want to build another part to it. When men want to repeat or add to the atoning work of our Lord Jesus, they are saying that Jesus' work was not complete. It's not sufficient. And they deny that His offering was infinite. This is the core doctrine of the cross work of Jesus. He was God and man in one person. His bodily death, His blood sacrifice was of infinite value. Because it's the blood of the God-man, not just a passing sacrifice soon to be lost. And here in Hebrews 10, verse 12, I want to really impress these words upon you. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. And then again in verse 14, forever. And the Mass, the repeat of Calvary, the addition to Calvary. What does it do to Calvary? It makes it to be of none effect. It undermines it. It takes away from it. And instead of preaching Calvary to the people, the priest holds up a wafer and offers them a new sacrifice, another sacrifice, which takes their eyes away from the one Lamb of God and the one act of sacrifice that He offered. And so I say, herein, they miss the redeeming power of the cross. Thirdly, they miss the cross by insisting on having other mediators for redemption. On Tuesday, when the Pope arrived in Toronto, he came and his first message concluded with a reference to Mary as the mother of the Church. This Pope has done more than any other to exalt Mary as a mediator. And Rome believes that there are many mediators. Mary, the saints, And then, of course, priests become mediators between God and men because only they, under the system of the church, have the authority to forgive mortal sins. Now, there's a little bit of confusion about the venial sins, the everyday sins that people commit. But those mortal sins, which are the deliberate, willful breaking of the Ten Commandments and others, and this, of course, again, is a bit of a cloudy issue. How do you divide what is mortal and what is venial? But they say that mortal sin can only be forgiven, you can only have absolution by the confessional, by the priest. And so, this goes on. Toronto today, they were erecting 1,000 confessionals in the open air. Just like a little drape around in the open air, and the priest sits here, and the confessor sits here, and he listens to the string of sins that are confessed. Now think on the use of the confessional. What is it? A confession by the confessor to the priest is required after baptism. Only baptized Catholics may enjoy this. After baptism, when you fall into sin, you lose the grace that you received at baptism. And therefore you must come back to the priest, back to the church, confess, receive a penance, which is not just how to put it right with man, but it is satisfaction to make it right with God. And so the confessor, when he comes to the priest and he says, I've done a terrible thing, I have sinned in this way, he is not given the gospel message that there is full free salvation through the death of the Lord Jesus. He is told, well, you need to put it right with your brother, but you also need to make satisfaction by penance, a form of works or payment, which makes it right. Now, that form of works could be a set of prayers, it could be Our Fathers, it could be repeating the rosary, it could be community service, it could be a number of things that are required, or it could be some manner of payment to the church. Now, there's two problems with this. Number one, when are my works enough? That's the first thing. When are my works enough? Well, that depends on the priest. He makes a judgment call and says, well, this is what you do. 5 Our Fathers, 4 Hail Marys, 2 hours of community service, work in the church, do this, and you finish it. And that is supposed to make satisfaction or payment for your wrongdoing. But when is it enough? What if you go home at night, you know, I didn't do that with a right heart. I know I did with the priest, but I had a bit of a grudge going on with that fellow. And I wasn't really happy with what he gave me. I thought he was over harsh. I shouldn't have had to pay money. I shouldn't have had to do that community service. I shouldn't have had to pray all those prayers. That was too much. I did it, but I didn't do it with the right attitude. So when are your works ever enough? And if you're here tonight and you rejoice in the gospel of free justification by faith alone, you rejoice that it's your faith plus nothing. It is Christ's work plus nothing. And His work is always perfect. And that's why the Church of Rome misses the cross. And along with that, there is no repentance. Penance, but no repentance. And that's the tragedy. And you have a religion that can speak against sin and yet have its people continually practicing sin. And that's the reason why in the history of the world, wherever Rome has prevailed, society has dropped to the lowest moral standards. And you can check that out in any country in the world where Roman Catholicism has the dominant role. That's the tragedy. Instead of becoming overcomers of sin, they encourage their people to live in it with no repentance. Number 4, they miss the cross by insisting that souls are not saved by justification alone. Now, this was the insistence of the Council of Trent in 1545. And Rome has never changed this doctrine. I have with me here tonight a book. It's the 1994 Catechism of the Roman Catholic Church. It's the first time in 400 years since the Council of Trent that they have reproduced in one compendium volume the doctrines of the church. And the Council of Trent on this issue is quoted again and again and again and again. Rome will never agree that a sinner is justified by faith alone. When Catholics and the ecumenical evangelicals got together, this was the big debate. J.I. Packer, Bill Bright, a number of others that were involved in this dialogue. And the insistence of the Church of Rome was, we are saved by faith, period. The gospel says we are saved by faith plus nothing. But Rome will never allow that and will always dispute that. And of course, this point is the very essence of the gospel. Look at Galatians 2, verse 16. That's why I wanted to read these verses tonight, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And then verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. But you say to me, but I don't see the word alone there. I don't see the insistence that it has to be faith plus nothing. Well, go to Galatians 5, verse 4 and verse 3. Let's read verse 3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. In other words, they go back on one point. One point. And if you go back to the law, if you go back to being justified by man's works, man's fleshly works, you're not just erring in one detail, you are spoiling the whole of grace. That's what verse 4 says. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Surely we ought to rejoice in this truth. We ought to be liberated by this truth. That I am justified, I am set free from my sin, I am cleared of all guilt on the basis of what Jesus did, and not one penny's worth of what I did or will do. That ought to free us. That ought to delight us. But for some strange reason, some carnal reason, some traditional reason, the Church of Rome will not bow on this point. They will not surrender in this point. They will always insist, we are saved by faith, by grace, plus the church, the sacraments, works. And they insist that justification must be accompanied with works. And to this day, Rome will fight this, what is to us a liberating truth. And we fear because it allows their church to exist as the source of salvation, and it bypasses the cross. And so you've got the power lines, you've got the hydro poles, you've got the substations, you've got the semiconductors, you've got the transformers and the lines into the homes, and you've got all the externals of religion, but you have not got a hydro station to produce the power at the other end. You have religion that bypasses Calvary and the finished work of the cross. Then fifthly, they miss the cross by insisting on purgatory as necessary to all believers. Catholicism believes that penance may not only be performed by good works in this life, but also through hellish suffering endured in purgatory after death. And I want to get this right tonight, and I want to read this quote to you. The Catholic Encyclopedia states, the suffering who have died in grace and whose souls are being purged in purgatory, the souls of those who have died in the state of grace suffer for a time of purging that prepares them to enter heaven. The purpose of purgatory is to cleanse one of imperfections, venial sins, and faults, and to remit or do away with the temporal punishment due to mortal sins that have been forgiven in the sacrament of penance. So if I understand that right, that means even when the priest says to me, you're forgiven, I still have to pay for it in purgatory. It is an intermediate state in which the departed souls can atone for unforgiven sins before receiving their final reward. Such purgatorial punishments may be relieved by the offerings of the living faithful, such as masses, prayers, alms, and other acts of piety and devotion. So you can see that the Mass and the doctrine of purgatory, this in-between place between heaven and hell, this purging place, now this is for the good Catholic, the believing Catholic. This is the one that's done it all. This is the one that's kept with the Church. This is the one that dies in a state of grace. They go to purgatory. And you can offer money and say masses to shorten their time in purgatory and lessen their sufferings there. But no one ever knows when they come out of purgatory. Now, in reality, through the years of history, this has been Rome's cash cow. This has been the biggest money-making scheme that the Church of Rome has ever devised. And you have people paying for masses to be said for the dead for generations, because no one knows when their loved ones are brought out of that place. I have other quotes here. I don't have time for them. All I need to ask is, when you think of purgatory for the believing Catholic, this includes priests and nuns and even popes who die in the Church. They go to purgatory. What happened to the atoning work of the Lord Jesus on the cross? Did it forgive sin and justify men from all the deeds of their guilt or not? Is the blood of infinite value or limited value? When our Lord Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished," did he mean it was finished except for a time in purgatory? You see how, on one hand, the Church of Rome uses the terms, speaks in glowing terms of Jesus and Christ and the cross and Calvary and grace and faith and redemption, and uses all these words. And yet at the end of a believing Catholic's life, they're confined to purgatory for whatever period of sufferings. This is not the gospel. And the Bible warns us that if in one part I must be saved by keeping the law, then it makes the whole gospel of none effect. And the serious outcome of that is that none are saved at all who are not by grace saved completely. That's the gospel tonight. And that's why we need to be a witness. And I realize that these are subtle differences. The same terms, the same names, the same quotes often, and to the unthinking, untaught in the Bible, it just sounds the same. I heard that fellow Gallagher on the radio saying some of the same things the Pope said. It sounds the same. But when properly analyzed and brought right to the light of the Bible, Roman Catholicism consistently, we're not speaking about one pope that has made a flip and changed things. We're talking about a system that consistently for centuries has defied the gospel of grace and insisted on a way of works. The plea of the Apostle Paul was this: God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. What does the cross do when you come a believer in the Lord Jesus? It kills the love of sin and the power of the world. The day after Mass in Toronto, they started up a rock band, Nazareth. I said this morning, I don't know much about its actual music. Its lyrics are diabolical. And here you have a religion that speaks about the cross, but do they know anything about being dead to the world? Dead to sin, dead to the lusts of the flesh, and alive unto God? That's the gospel that Paul preached. That's the gospel I find in this New Testament. That's the gospel that we seek today. And that's the gospel that every Roman Catholic needs today. Because let's face it, there go I but for the grace of God. And when I see a Roman Catholic with a cross around his neck and saying his rosary beads, his prayers, and when I see him bowing before a Roman cross or going into the confessional, I can only say, there go I, but for the grace of God. And it's the light of this Bible, and it's the teaching and preaching of the cross in its fullness that has brought to us this great liberty, that we don't need a priest. The cross to us is not a piece of wood. The gospel to us is not based on rites and ceremonies. It's based on the atoning work of Jesus Christ, received by faith alone. And therein is liberty and power. So that I am your pastor tonight, not your priest. And you have access to the throne of God in Jesus' name, as I do. And you have power with God, as I may have power with God. In fact, First Peter 2:9 tells us that we are all made priests unto God. Every believer, every New Testament believer is now a priest, in the sense that we can go directly to God by faith. We don't need a sacrifice. We don't need blood. We go in the name of Jesus, and we're accepted in Him. I trust tonight you can take these differences and use them in your witness to neighbors and Roman Catholics wherever you meet them. And that we will pray and witness in love and in true Christ-like care for their soul. And that we may see many brought to know our Lord Jesus.
Returning now to the testimony of Capriano James, a converted priest, and he has his own story to tell of how he was delivered from the darkness, the superstition of being a priest, to becoming a Christian in the full life of the gospel. Stay tuned now for this testimony. Today's testimony is by Capriano James. He calls it an irresistible call. I was born in Michoacán, Mexico, to a devout Roman Catholic family. I received my primary education under the watchful eye of those who taught me to observe frequent confession and daily communion. When I reached the age of 12, I entered the diocesan seminary of Chalapa in the state of Guerrero. For 5 long years, I studied the Latin of Cicero and Virgil. For 3 years, my mind was filled with the philosophy of the Greek writers. With great care, I was given 4 years of theology, where I learned all the dogmas of Romanism. Finally, on 18th of October 1951, on the day of St. Luke the Evangelist, I was ordained a priest. On that day, through the laying on of the hands by the bishop, I was given the incredible, the deceitful, the false powers which the Roman Catholic Church pretends to give to man to delude others. I was granted the ability to forgive men's sins, both inside and outside the horrible confessional box. On that day, I received the power to sacrifice Christ over again on an altar at my whim and fancy. I could now release souls from purgatory, a place invented by Rome through a lying and lucrative ritual. This is the undeniable teaching of the Roman Church, that before going to heaven, men's souls must pass through such a lake of fire. How far from the truth, what error! Yet, that is what I believed as the result of 4 years of painstaking, incisive work in dogmatic and moral theology. So when I was told that I had power to forgive the sins of my fellow men, I accepted the fact that with all my heart, not realizing that the forgiving of sins is a divine attribute. It cannot be delegated to a man. The scripture says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Who can forgive sins but God only? For 20 years in the Roman Catholic priesthood, I performed this ridiculous, shameful, anti-scriptural practice of daily listening to the frailties of society, including military men, professionals, and politicians. I was the spiritual director in schools, For 1 year I held the post of assistant parish priest, and for 19 years I was a parish priest. I had aides and assistant priests who helped me carry out my absurd duties. In order to repeat the bloodless sacrifice of Christ on the altar, I was given the power to convert the bread into his body and wine into his blood through the words of consecration. With joy and deep respect, I accepted this authority. In my hands would be found the very Creator of the universe, the eternal God, made man for us. Is it possible that for 20 years I kept sacrificing Christ, and I did it up to 4 times on Sundays? What an awful, shameful travesty this was for me and for all who took part in what Rome calls the Mass. Man can never repeat Christ's work on the cross. To think he can is an invention of the devil. The Bible says in Romans 6 verse 9, Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. How then can a priest cause him to die a bloodless death? Hebrews 9:22 states that without shedding of blood is no remission. So what does a Mass accomplish? Does it purify and free souls from purgatory? The Bible states, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And there we leave the testimony of Cipriano James, the converted priest to the message of salvation by faith alone, by grace alone, a gift alone. These are a series of 50 testimonies in the book, Far From Rome, Near to God. And this book is available through Banner of Truth Trust. If I could be of any help to you concerning these testimonies, and if you wish to know your way of salvation or the salvation that you may accept, then today I trust that you will give me a call, 604-576-1091, or send me an email. I'll be delighted to talk with you and show you God's way of salvation. I also have a little booklet called A New Beginning. I'll be delighted to send it to you, or you can read it online on our website, and you'll get all this information in our announcements coming up right now. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for joining with us on the program today. I want to just let you know about special meetings here in our church over these next weeks, when I will be preaching on the 5 points of Calvinism. This is known as TULIP. T stands for total depravity, U for unconditional election, L for limited atonement, I for irresistible grace, and P for perseverance of the saints. This is historic doctrine that has made the difference in the Church of the Lord Jesus, and it is a great defense of the gospel to understand how lost sinners are marvelously saved by God's amazing grace. And so we invite you to the morning services here at our church, 10:30 Sunday mornings, through this month of November into December, for this series of services on the TULIP theology. And we invite you along. And of course, all the details concerning our church location, church times, 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for morning service, 6 p.m. for evening service. You would be welcome to join with us. We invite you to come. You can also join us by webcast on your computer. Go to www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you will be able to find all the details concerning our church. If you're in the Victoria area, we have a church there as well. They meet at 11 and 6 at 733 Van Alman Avenue. Give us a call. Look up the website. This is Ian Gallagher, 604-576-1091. Join us again on Let the Bible Speak, Monday to Friday, 5 and 5.